I'm telling these tears go and fall away, fall away.
Oh. Welcome, everybody, to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm filling in for Maggie Dawn. I'm Brian Kelly. And we're playing the most catchy song I've heard in a long time because this song has been stuck in my head ever since the day I started working with Maggie. Welcome, everybody. It's the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Brian Kelly. Like I said, filling in for Maggie. She is out today, but we'll be back tomorrow. Today you got me. We're talking. Today is day three of Biden's top 100. We'll be talking the economy today. We'll be talking with guest Bob Lord. He's a senior advisor on tax policy for Patriotic Millionaires. Later on, we'll also be talking with Dan Schaefer from the We're going to talk to him from the recombobulation area, Dan Schaefer, about all things Wisconsin. It seems that there's a bunch of breaking news today. My goodness, it was fun because I had this time slot when I was with Luke on Dueling Tangents a couple years ago, and we would have this thing where, for whatever reason, at least once a week, we could almost predict or just give ourselves a breaking news story that would come. Like we could almost like rely on at least one breaking news story a week to hit us in the 2 o'clock hour. It hit at the 1 o'clock hour. And that is today. Justice has been justicing today. Justice has decided to come in and say hello to the former Waupun correctional facility warden. That's right. They locked up the warden. Yeah. As reported by WPR, although we did have we aired the press conference from, which may still be going on, actually. It's a pretty long press conference. They went through all the, I'm gonna sum up for you. They went all through all the details of all the prisoner issues. But basically, today, a Wisconsin prison warden, former warden, the guy actually resigned last week, just hours before the news conference today, was booked in the Dodge County Jail. Now, he was a former warden of the Waupun Correctional Institution. His name's Randall Hepp. Him and another person was also booked around the same time. More charges are going to be involved. This all centers around essentially four deaths in this facility. Four of them. Just to give you an idea, four deaths. They were, we have Tyshawn Lemons and Cameron Williams were both found dead at the facility in October. The Dodge County Medical Examiner, PJ Shebel, said Lemons overdosed on acetyl fentanyl and Williams died of a stroke. Dean Hoffman said, they said, killed himself in solitary confinement. Hoffman's daughter filed a federal lawsuit in February, alleging that prison officials failed to provide her father with adequate mental health care and medications. Yeah, that medication situation was very well detailed in the news conference. Essentially, this guy was not taken care of whatsoever. And Donald Meyer, the fourth one, was found dead at the prison in February. This is also reporting in WPR. The State Department of Corrections imposed a lockdown at Waupun and prisons in Green Bay and Stanley last year due to a shortage of guards. Yeah. They're also looking into a suspected smuggling ring. They're looking into a whole bunch of issues regarding our prison facilities, not just ours. This is a nationwide epidemic, but we just put the warden and we're going to get a bunch of other people in jail. This is from the Department of Corrections itself. This is a statement from Secretary Hoy. This is in a press release today. Basically saying, this is actually literally saying, as a result of the DOC's internal investigations that initially it began in March of 2023, over 20 individuals remain under internal investigation. An additional 9 individuals against whom criminal charges have not been filed at this time, I believe they are in the middle of filing them or will be, are no longer employed at the department. An additional at least 8 individuals at WCI remain on administrative leave based on DOC's internal investigations, and we anticipate additional individuals will be placed on administrative leave, may be terminated, and potentially referred to for criminal charges pending the conclusion of the DOC's internal or other law enforcement investigations, which remains ongoing. There are more and more things coming here. They have been allowed to investigate are prisons. And they found some really bad things happening. And if you think that they were short-staffed before, imagine what happens when half of the staff has been, I don't know, placed on administrative leave and nobody's there. You know who, and I know nobody's going to really care about this, but you know who really suffers are the prisoners, because when they are on lockdown, it's not just they're on lockdown, okay? They don't just say, hey, you're on lockdown. It's not like, oh, we just tighten it up. No, you're stuck in your cell for 23 hours a day and maybe have an hour of movement that gets taken away as soon as somebody gets a little bit rowdy. Folks, we have a prison problem in this country. This is just a little tiny cancer, a little tiny thing that is a small issue on our larger prison problem. Not only do we use prisons as, you know, population control, basically people will go and move prisons to certain counties and things to raise the population, yet they don't get to vote. So they get more voting money, they get more money sent to them, but it doesn't get to the prisoners. It gets used by the county. On top of that, there's so many people who make profits on these prisons. Prison for profit system. What fun time. What a capitalistic world we live in. How great. Folks, what do you think? I mean, I've always said, if you don't believe in redemption, what are we doing here anyway? What's the point? Give me a text. Give me a call. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-75-24842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let me know what you think. The Waupun warden is now locked up in jail. And it's just a portion of the issues we have regarding our prison system. I want to go back to 2018. I was a producer for the Devils, right? And the Devils brought on Ed Wall. Ed Wall is the former Wisconsin Corrections Secretary. Ed Wall gave an interview after being let go by Brad Schimmel and Scott Walker, just to give you an idea of what the previous administration said or had to say or thought about the prison system. Here's Ed Wall talking about Scott Walker and state employees.
He couldn't have cared less, I think, about the Department of Corrections, about the jobs that we were doing. And I think part of that goes back to his war on state employees. I think he despises state employees. And here's what I challenge you to do. Go back through his entire time in office and see if you can find him once visiting a state agency. I'll bet you can't.
So you already had a previous administration, and this isn't just, please, I'm giving you a microcosm of another administration, but this has been going on for a while. This isn't anything like a new thing. This is like an ongoing, like nationwide type of thought process. Because if you don't think about what you're putting back on the street, what are you doing anyway? Here's some more Ed Wall.
For him, there was value in playing up the fear of people about keeping everybody locked up. That's what got him into office back in the 90s, and that's what led him to do the truth in sentencing.
Yeah. He made it easier to lock people up. But again, I'm not making the case that people don't belong in prison. What I'm making the case is people are people in prison. You may have committed the crime, but being in prison is paying for that. And if it's not humane conditions, if we're not taking care of these people, most people who go to prison aren't there for life. They're not. They're not there for life. I don't understand why you don't see that there's another end of this. And I think Ed does a really good job. This is Ed Wall, former Wisconsin Corrections Secretary, talking about Wisconsin prison system.
The question you then have to answer is, what am I going to put back on the street? What's the product I'm going to put back out there? Does it make sense to keep them locked up as long as I can and as miserable as I can and send them back with no psychological help, no counseling for alcohol and drugs, no job skills, which is where I think that they would rather be? I think that they see corrections as a warehousing issue and not as a cultural issue and a social issue that needs to be addressed.
a warehousing issue. Warehousing people. We're the most locked up country in the world. That means a lot of people are making a lot of money on prisons because we don't really give a crap what comes out of our prisons. And I love how there's very quaint mental health facilities or like job programs. They can't even staff the thing. I mean, my mother-in-law, former deputy sheriff. She ran the she was in the jails. She was a bailiff. She had to go and deal with people who had committed suicide. She had to walk into their cells and see what's going on there. And when she worked, though, that's the difference. They paid her really well, comparatively. She's a single woman, single parent trying to, you know, make it. And she made a good living and has a really good pension because of it. Actually, one of the last group of people that has a good pension. But again, if you don't value your state employees, you know what's going to happen? They're going to do things like run smuggling rings. And they're going to go and treat your prisoners like crap. And you know who suffers is all of us. Because when you put someone on 23-1 lockdown, that doesn't work out for anyone. Nobody likes that. And nobody gets better after that. I mean, you just think someone's going to sit in a room and kind of try and stay alive and make it through and just at the end of it, what is it? What's the point? What are you going to do? Sit there and feel bad the whole time? And then move on? I don't know. You listen to the Maggie Dawn Show. Let me know what you think. 855-75-CIVIC. Brian Kelly filling in for Maggie Dawn. We got a lot to go to. We got Bob Lord coming in to talk Biden tax policy. We got Dan Schaefer coming up. And at the 3 o'clock hour, I have a secret special word for you. And you're going to want to listen because you can win a whole bunch of really cool stuff. Stay tuned. It's the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Brian Kelly on the Civic Radio Network. Won't let my freedom ride in. Hey, I'ma keep on running cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
This is a conspiracy. That's what this is. One big damn conspiracy.
Well, Lita, it could be a big thing if you accidentally, you know, knock somebody out and they ended up dying and then you end up in prison. And the next thing you know, you're spending a long time next to a guy who's been there for a really long time teaching you how to make hooch. Because you know what? You're locked down for 23 hours because most prisons in the state, in the actual area, and most of the nation are understaffed and the guards are underpaid. And turns out nobody wants to work while underpaid. And it turns out that people will go and, I don't know, break the law in order to, you know, keep things going for themselves. On top of that, breaking news, just letting you know, the warden, former warden of the Waupun Correctional Facility is now in jail at the Dodge County facility, Dodge County Jail. And that's because he oversaw four deaths, specifically the deaths of Cameron Williams, Donald Meyer, and two others that are not on this page. I will get those names in just a moment. But give me a call, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to open the phones, go to Karina. Karina, how are you feeling today?
Kevin Barr, previous secretary, wonderful man, contacted our pharmacy and asked if we can come in and vaccinate Waupun employees, staff, which we did. And in the meantime, I tried to communicate to warden saying that, you know, we have a technology where we can sort the medication and deliver it to your door. And the only thing what you need to do is to rip little package and just take it to the people you care in your care, and that would be it. I've been told that the system is working fine and everything is settled as of right now, so they're not looking for anyone who knew who will service them. Then I proposed to vaccinate the inmates, and I was told that it's easier to keep them on lockdown, especially with the COVID, and they'll wait until the whole state will be vaccinated, and this is the last people who are going to be vaccinated in the state. So that's the reality of what I worked with, and in Milwaukee jails, there is, you're absolutely right, there is no program what helping people actually rehabilitate.
Yeah, most of the problems with people in prisons aren't being helped by the prison system.
Right.
It's supposed to be the Department of Corrections, and nobody's being corrected. And nothing is being done
absolutely
to actually
not
alleviate the actual problem.
And also, there is a factor that everything you buy, everything you try to give to your loved one, even though it's still my family, okay, they may be a criminal for one reason or another, let's not get into that too, but it's still my family and I want to take care of them. Okay, you cannot even imagine how expensive this is to buy a food for them or anything hygiene. It's 3-4 times more. The one little package care, what would cost probably $5, cost you $25.
That's ridiculous.
And this is coming from the pocket of a people who outside of the jail, because they trying to help and they trying to make some sort of food, a normal, reliable food to go to their loved ones. I've seen a cookie in Milwaukee jail. It looks like a sugar cookie, but when you touch them, you can stretch it.
You can stretch it?
Stretch it.
Hey, welcome to prison. We got elastic cookies. Karina, thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. If you're not taking care of the people, you're not. Let me refer you guys. If you're trying to figure out a little bit more, maybe a little bit of an idea of where, like how this works or something, get maybe more palatable way of presenting prison life. Go check out there's a Netflix documentary called The Prison Experiment. I believe it's Unlocked. It's called The Prison Experiment, and they had the 23-and-1 because they didn't have enough guards, and the sheriff comes in and decides, you know what? I'm removing the guards. I'm giving you guys freedom. You guys have your own pod all to yourself. You handle your own food. You handle your meds. If you take care of yourself, I'll give you more freedoms. And that's where it starts. That's a really interesting concept because you get to know a whole bunch of these folks. It's a really interesting thing. But again, we're talking here, 855-757. Give me your text. Give me your calls. We're talking here about the Waupun Correctional Facility warden now in jail. That's fun. I don't understand. Someone calls me. Someone texts here as if locking up criminals is a bad thing. Your whining is so pathetic. I would tear your feeble arguments to shreds. That's interesting. I'm not saying these people shouldn't be locked up. I'm not saying that these people shouldn't be in prison. What I'm saying is, and to be very clear, when they are in prison, if we don't do things to make them not want to be in prison anymore, besides making it horrible to be there, all you're going to do is make a worse person come out on the other end. All you're going to do is make a worse situation. You know, I can understand the idea that, you know, why should these prison inmates get the vaccine before regular people? Well, because they're confined in a small facility, and if you want to have a giant outbreak and make sure that all the guards are completely infected, then that's the best way to do it. Leave them alone, leave them last. It's about public safety. It's about reality. Because the reality is, most people in prison will be back on the street later on. That's it. So if you're not working to go and try and make sure that the person comes back out of the prison better, you're not doing anything right. And finally, you need a way for people to be fed in prison, to have medication, Because on top of that, you might be held accountable. And thank God we just got someone held accountable, because the guy is now being held accountable for four deaths in his prison under his facility. And the warden is now in jail. Good for us. Justice is having a day. I'm going to come back. I have Bob Lord on the line. We're going to switch gears very quickly here. Although this does deal with tax policy. I have Bob Lord on the line, senior advisor tax policy for Patriotic Millionaires. We're going to talk about Biden's top 100, what Biden has done to make sure that the tax system is actually working as is. He helped pass the Inflation Reduction Act, and that gave the IRS a little bit more tools to do things. But we'll talk to Bob Lord about that in a little bit. Folks, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Brian Kelly, filling in for Maggie Dawn. Thank you so much for your texts and calls. I will get to you after in a little bit. You have a beautiful text to text word coming up in a little bit. You're going to be texting in the Civic Media Radio Network. Go to your app. Download the app right now, Civic Media app, if you don't have it, because you need the app to go and win the tickets that I'll be giving away in a half an hour. But next, Bob Lord talking about tax policy and Joe Biden. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Brian Kelly, filling in for Maggie Dawn today here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm really excited right now. I get to welcome a really awesome guest. I have Bob Lord. He's the senior advisor on tax policy for Patriotic Millionaires, and that's really just the beginning of a really, really long resume. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, this is Maggie's more the economist here. I'm more the regular guy who did a lot of things and picks up some things here and there. I want to get down to basics. This is the most basic thing that I could ask you about taxes in general, because it really speaks to the fundamental understanding and point of view for a lot of people here. Governments having the right to tax is part of existing as a government. Is that a correct statement?
I think it is. I mean, I think you go back to a famous quote from Oliver Wendell Holmes that taxes are the cost of a civilized society.
Huh. So you're saying that if we pay our taxes to our local government and then we tell that government to spend them the way we want to, that's how our government's supposed to work?
Well, I think there's debate about that, but it either works that way, or it works effectively the same way, but in reverse. The government spends the money, but then it imposes taxes, because if there are no taxes, the money has no value.
Okay. So it's an existential question is really the point here. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is that there's a huge anti-tax movement. There's a lot of folks who believe they shouldn't have to pay taxes, or that taxing is illegal, or taxing shouldn't exist. And I just want to clarify that position, because I think a lot of people have the position that taxation is just wrong or evil or bad. And while it's a pain in the butt, I still like driving on roads, and I still like having my kid educated. And I like a lot of things that our government provides.
They're good things, aren't they? Education, roads,
yeah.
Healthcare.
For me, I think that's a good thing. Now, and specifically, we're talking this week. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about Joe Biden, and today is our tax policy. Joe Biden has put out and passed the Inflation Reduction Act. Now, as part of that, that gave a lot of money to the IRS, gave a little power to the IRS to give a little bit more of a ability to go and maybe collect some taxes. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. It gave, when it was first enacted, it upped the budget of the IRS over several years by by $80 billion. That wasn't all in 1 year. It was spread out over a number of years. And some of it went just to improve IRS services, you know, where you call into the IRS to get a question answered. It was horrific how few calls were being answered.
I just got sweaty thinking about that.
But then a big chunk of it went to enforcement, but only enforcement of those with incomes over $400,000. So at the very top. And the reasoning for that is that there's this thing we call the tax gap, which is the taxes that Americans owe versus the taxes that are actually paid. And it's a huge number. I mean, no one knows what it is exactly, but I've seen estimates anywhere from $500 billion to $1 trillion per year. But wow. We know that a huge piece of it is the top 1%. And so the idea is you've got folks who are totally capable of paying their taxes, but not paying them. Is it evasion? Probably not. Tax evasion is a criminal act where someone intentionally doesn't pay their taxes.
That's what I was saying. Is this more of a fraud, or is this more of a just not paying it?
It's a little bit of that, but more. Taking aggressive positions on tax returns, you know, claiming deductions where maybe possibly they're right, but they're probably wrong. And that's what tax planners do. They take aggressive positions on tax returns. Well, if nobody's getting audited and the rate at which the folks at the top were being audited had plummeted before this Inflation Reduction Act, I think by 70%. Beginning in 2010, Congress started cutting the IRS budget, and the cuts were made kind of lopsidedly to audits of the top taxpayers and corporations.
How nice, because those people end up having the power to go and do things like that or move those things through Congress.
Yeah, so. Right. So if you're going to take an aggressive tax position and you know the chances are minimal that you're going to be audited, why not?
Bob, I got to tell you, I do that myself.
And that was fueling the tax gap.
If I can, because in my mind, on my own tax returns, before the standard deduction was so large that it didn't really matter anyway, I would go and, you know, say, all right, I'm an actor. I drove a lot to go and do this stuff. You know, people do that all the time because it will actually cost more to go and to get that money back than to actually just, all right, fine. You drove that many miles. I mean, and now
right.
this
I mean, I assume that you were making a good faith estimate of
yes,
how
of course,
far you
that's
drove.
The idea.
But yeah, that's the idea. But it can be, you know, in your case, it's just whether you had the substantiation for it, mm-hmm. you did drive that many miles. But there are some things that folks put on their tax returns, especially the very rich, where they take a deduction where it may not be, where it may not a question of whether they can substantiate it, but whether that's an appropriate deduction.
Okay.
You know, for example, you paid your housekeeper to clean your entire house, and only a little piece of that house cleaning was for that little office that you had in the house. But you said the deduction was entirely for your business that you ran out of that little office. That kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes Again, the first thing my tax preparer told me was, "Do you have an office at home? And how big is the office?" Because that determines a whole bunch of stuff. But again, getting back to the going after the people with above $100 billion, at least financial activity, what movement has happened on this? Because I've also noticed at the same time as this was released, I hear a whole bunch of the IRS is after you. The IRS can come get you. The IRS now has more money. So call me. I'm the shady attorney on the radio. You know, I've seen an uptick in that. I've heard an uptick in that, not just because it was the tax season, which is what it normally does, but I hear fear in there as if the IRS is coming after you, and I feel like that's the narrative people are coming out there. The IRS is coming after the top 1% to start with. That's where you get the most bang for your buck, for lack of a better term. Can you talk about the enforcement?
And it's what a lot of like? Bang for the buck, yeah. By the way.
I would assume. I mean, it's their offices are a lot bigger, and they drive a lot more miles than I do.
Brian, I think the numbers are anywhere from $6 for every dollar that's spent auditing the ultra rich, or $12 of tax revenue for every dollar spent auditing the ultra rich. In any case, it's a big number. And really, if you think about it, even if it's only a break even, even if it's only dollar for dollar, isn't it worth it to make sure these folks are paying the amount that they should be paying?
If you ask anybody straight up, should everyone just pay their fair share according to what they make, almost everybody to a person will say, yeah, that makes sense. It's just fair and justice.
And, you know, if you do increase this IRS budget and they do go after the folks at the top at a higher rate, what it does is it increases voluntary compliance. All of a sudden, folks that are, you know, that are taking these aggressive tax positions say, wait a second, maybe I don't want to do this because if I get audited, it's going to be, you know, a huge problem for me.
Wow. Wow. We were just talking about prisons and how that discourages crime. It seems like holding people accountable for things in the first place discourages crime in general. It's a weird principle how these things work together. It's so surprising. How people are like, oh my goodness. Speaking of which, I did mention, and I want to ask you, this is completely a little bit out of left field, but still on the topic. I want to ask you sidebars here, about prisons and taxes. I want to know about how counties and how states use prisons to increase to make more money, essentially, through the tax system. Can you speak to that? I know it's a left field question.
How they use prisons to generate more tax money?
They take people to go to increase the amount of population there, right? And they get more tax dollars based on that. And they run things through taxes. I'm just wondering if you had any insight on that. That's all.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about it, Brian, but I know that if you're looking at the local level, not at the state level, but at the local level, if some, you know, town has a prison there, they get state revenue allocated to them by the total population in their town.
That's what I'm
talking
about.
The total population of the state. So the bigger population they have, the bigger slice of the revenue sharing they get. It also plays kind of a sinister role in drawing the lines for, say, congressional districts, because folks are placed in a congressional district inside a prison, and it counts for the population of that district. But of course, those folks don't vote. So you could have, say, I mean, it's an extreme case, but let's say you had a humongous prison with 100,000 convicts in it, and the population of the otherwise in that district had, you know, 600,000 people. That would be one congressional district, even though 100,000 people aren't voting.
My goodness.
It's disproportionate representation for the folks who actually are from that district and voting.
And this is how things get fudged. Things get moved around in different ways so that you, the taxpayer, and you, the person, don't actually get the benefits of the money you are sending back. I don't understand. Folks, I'm talking with Bob Lord. He's a senior advisor for tax policy with Patriotic Millionaires. I have a couple minutes here, and then we got to take a little couple messages here. Can you speak to why you joined the Patriotic Millionaires? What is your thing? Why do you want to give away your money?
Brian, I'm on the staff of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm not a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. But I am a I spent a career about 40 years as a tax attorney, and I became in the last 15 years or so very, very concerned about the concentration of wealth in our country and the threat it was posing to our democracy. And I know from my the work that I've done that a big part of that is a tax system that is not taxing the very rich at the level they need to be taxed to prevent that concentration of wealth. That's what brought me to the Patriotic Millionaires, because you know a big part of their mission is centered around the threat that concentrated wealth poses to our democracy.
Folks, you heard it here. Bob Lord, Senior Advisor, Tax Policy for Patriotic Millionaires. We're going to be back in just a minute. A couple local messages here. We're going to talk about how the IRS is actually trying to make it easier for you. Oh my goodness. The IRS wants to make it easier for you to file your taxes. We'll talk about that policy as well as a little bit more when we come back with Bob Lord, Tax Policy Advisor for Patriotic Millionaires. I'm Brian Kelly. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. See you in just a little bit. The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Brian Kelly, filling in for Maggie Dawn, taking care of some business today. But we have some business to attend to right now. We're continuing to talk with Bob Lord. He is the Senior Advisor on Tax Policy for Patriotic Millionaires, a group of millionaires saying that you should probably tax us more. Hey, the United States needs to actually collect the taxes that it imposes on the millionaires. And we talked earlier this week, Bob, with your buddy, Morris Pearl, talking about how basically your regular teacher is getting taxed more than your regular average millionaire. Just because your teacher is taxed based on their income, whereas a generally person of better means makes most of their income on selling their stocks or similar situations.
And or really just holding their stock.
Yeah. You get paid dividends just by living. Congratulations, your money is making your money, and that's good. That's a good thing. It actually moves
the
economy.
You know, even the dividends they pay tax on. But what happens when the value of the stock? Let's say they pay $50,000 for shares in a corporation, and it increases in value up to $1 million, and they're just sitting there holding it, and they're not getting taxed on that $950,000 of gain. And then they want to spend some money, so they just borrow against it. And that's not taxable either. And then they die, and they leave the $1 million worth of stock to their kids. And guess what? The kids don't have they can sell the stock right away. They don't have to pay tax on the $950,000 of gain.
And you know who loses? Us. Everyone. All of us. Because that extra money that wasn't collected, that could go to a school. That could make sure that you have an extra police officer. That could make sure that you have, better roads. That could go to a whole bunch of different things that is better than sitting in somebody's pocket and it's not going to work for you.
And if it's sitting in their pocket, it can be used to buy a politician or two.
That's true. It's a lot easier to do that. And what a great gain you have, too. There's people, the Trump tax cuts have just given so many people so much money. I mean, between that and COVID, the shift in income inequality or the holding of assets in general has shifted so greatly. Just those two things alone. It's mind-boggling how less people have.
Well, here I'll just give you one example to show how obscene this is. Mike Bloomberg is worth over $100 billion. there was a provision in the Trump tax law. It's called the pass-through deduction. Now, let's not go into detail about what that's all about unless someone's really interested in it.
Well, you can thank Ron Johnson. Bloomberg, that was his baby.
Yeah, exactly. And Bob Corker. Bloomberg, in 1 year, avoided $67 million of tax through this pass-through deduction. We really needed to put another $67 million into Mike Bloomberg's pockets? Wow.
And it's not just Mike Bloomberg. That's multiplied amongst a couple hundred other people that did the same thing. That adds up real quick. Those chunks add up real quick of money that the federal government doesn't have. And what does everybody complain about all the time? This federal deficit. Oh, the deficit. We're hemorrhaging money to let other people have money. And for what? I guess that's what I'm coming down to. For what? At the end of the day, do you just have more power and money? Is that it?
Well, I don't think, to me and probably to you, it's mystifying why someone already worth $1 billion cares about accumulating more wealth. What are you going to do with it?
I don't get it. But let's go back to the Inflation Reduction Act, of which funding for the IRS and a little bit more teeth to the IRS is part of it. But also, they're going to try and do some direct funding or some direct filing, which makes it a lot easier. Seems like people don't want to just use a third-party system. It'd be a lot easier just to go to the IRS, press a button, and say my taxes are filed.
Well, they had a pilot program this filing season. I think about 150,000 taxpayers participated in it. And it was a smashing success. For somebody who has a relatively simple tax return to prepare, but where they're not a tax person, they're not capable of doing it for themselves. Do we really want these people to have to pay H&R Block or pay Intuit, the provider of TurboTax to do this when the IRS can create a website and let millions of people just go ahead and prepare their tax returns that way, take out these middlemen that are making, that are soaking folks for a lot of money. And there was an agreement in place where Intuit and H&R Block were going to be providing this service for free to taxpayers of modest means, but they made it so hard for people to figure out how to obtain that service that it wasn't doing any good.
That's what is the point of that? It destroys faith in government, and I hate that. When you say the IRS, everyone feels icky. It's got an icky bad feeling. But right now, the IRS under Joe Biden is actually trying to, I don't know, make millionaires pay their fair share and make it easier for you to file your tax returns, which is all we ever end up wanting in the first place.
And by the way, the IRS has almost all your tax information already.
Yeah.
If you're just, the average person who's working for wages. So unlike Intuit, unlike H&R Block, the IRS could create a system where you go online, you plug in your name and your social, and a completed tax return comes up without you even having to provide the information because they already have it. It makes it so much simpler.
My goodness. The Biden administration making things simpler for you and everybody else. Bob Lord, thank you so much for joining me on the Maggie Dawn Show. Appreciate your time, man. We're definitely going to have you back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. This is Bob Lord, tax advisor for the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm Brian Kelly. I'm on the Maggie Dawn Show. You can give me a call and get ready to text. Get your civic media apps ready because I got a special word for you guys. You can win the Wisconsin summer staycation. Don't go away. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.